time.
Without further ado,
WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
And welcome back into the program. It is 2:07. It is a Tuesday afternoon, 508-996-0500. Whew, just had to run outside and have lunch in my car. Yeesh. The only place is quiet. Do you like to spend time in your car? I don't eat in my car, though. I eat, maybe if I'm driving, I'll have like a bag of chips or something, you know, and definitely a dunk in the, but I mean, you know, to sit and eat a sandwich or something, I generally don't do that. But that's me. So a bipartisan push to make daylight saving time permanent is heading for a chamber-wide vote in the U.S. House of Representatives after clearing committee. The House Rules Committee yesterday teed up a floor vote on the legislation. It's called the Sunshine Protection Act, which would allow states to enact daylight savings time year-round with an option to opt out. The committee approved the rule in a 6-4 vote. Who would opt out? Maura Healey would opt out, because Trump supports the bill. You know damn well Maura Healey. We'd be the only one on the entire East Coast that would have, that'd be turning our clock back, right? You know she would do it. Arizona doesn't change its clocks. The measure has the support of many coastal lawmakers and President Donald Trump, who has repeatedly urged Congress to make daylight saving time permanent and end the twice-a-year ritual of changing the clocks, a practice currently observed by every state except Arizona, as I mentioned, and Hawaii. I didn't realize Hawaii didn't do it either. Most Americans already set their clocks forward 1 hour each spring to preserve more evening daylight before falling back 1 hour in November. Americans are overwhelmingly supportive of this policy and want to end the practice of springing forward and falling back. Locking the clock all year long would have positive impacts on sleep schedules, energy conservation, motor vehicle safety, and our economy, according to the committee chairman, Brett Guthrie, a Republican of Kentucky. In practice, this change would mean more time for people to exercise outside, visit family, attend concerts and sporting events, attract customers to their retail businesses, and more. Floridians and Americans across the country are tired of the biannual time change, and the evidence is clear that permanent daylight saving time can improve public health, reduce traffic accidents, lower crime, and encourage more outdoor activity, said Representative Vern Buchanan from Florida, who authored the measure, previously said, she previously said in a May press release. This legislation's momentum comes after the House Energy and Commerce Committee overwhelmingly passed the measure 48-1 in May. It's time that people can stop worrying about the clock, not to mention all of the work and money that is spent on this ridiculous twice-yearly production, Trump wrote following the Sunshine Protection Act's advancement out of committee. It will also be a very nice win for the Republican Party. Take it. We are going with the far more popular alternative, saving daylight, which gives you a longer, brighter day. And who can be against that? This is an easy one. I can just hear it now. The protesters in Maine, Trump hates sunshine. All the old ladies over the bridge on Route 18, the bridge, the walkway on Route 18. Give us our daylight savings back. We want to spring forward. Nazi. Roughly 20 states have already passed legislation that would make daylight saving time permanent if Congress were to authorize the practice. Alabama, South Carolina, Oregon, Maine, and Florida are among those places. But opponents, including several medical organizations, argue that permanent standard time, which provides more sunlight in the morning, would be the healthier option because it would more closely align with the body's natural rhythms. Representative Mary Gay Scanion, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, proposed amending the bill with language from her co-sponsored Sunshine for Our Kids Act, which would make standard time permanent nationwide. The amendment was quickly rejected. Scanlon argued that permanent daylight saving time would pose significant health and safety risks by leaving more Americans, particularly kids, in darkness during morning hours. She also pointed to the nation's brief experiment with year-round daylight savings in 1974, which Congress abandoned after widespread public backlash. I remember that during the energy crisis, during the Nixon administration, they experimented with that. Permanent daylight savings. And I do remember we went to school in the dark, but who the hell cares? Who cares? I mean, who cares? Nobody walks to school anymore. 1974, people walked to school. You don't walk to school anymore. Representative Nanette Barragan, Democrat of California, was also the lone lawmaker to oppose the legislation during the Energy and Commerce Committee markup in May, citing concerns that year-round daylight saving time could negatively affect children's health and sleep schedules. Some conservative lawmakers have also argued that GOP leadership should be focused on what they describe as more pressing legislative issues, including legislation codifying Trump's border security, executive orders, and the stalled Save America Act. Republicans are majoring in the minors, fiddling with the clocks while the country burns, said Representative Keith Self, a Republican of Texas, a member of the conservative House Freedom Caucus. The House has already passed versions of the Save America Act multiple times, but the measure has struggled to overcome the Senate's legislative filibuster. Permanent daylight savings time. You know, to me, it doesn't matter one way or the other. If they say flip the clock back, I'll flip the clock back. If they say leave it this way permanently, we'll do that. President Trump yesterday signed an executive order drastically shrinking the size of two national monument areas in Utah. The order applies to the Grand Staircase, Escalante, and Bears Ears National Monuments, shrinking their total coverage by roughly 90% from 3 million acres to 300,000. The areas were established as federal monuments by President Clinton in 96 and Barack Obama in 2016, respectively. But here's the problem. They didn't ask the local people. And the local people opposed it, for the most part. They took the land from the people, quite honestly. Trump said during the Monday signing ceremony, we're giving it back. Utah's Governor Spencer Cox also attended the signing and praised the move, saying the original size of the monuments was far too expansive. So you'll have people picketing in Massachusetts, or you'll have people, you know, standing over the highway bridge. Protesting this around in California, but, you know, it's none of their business. This is Utah. It's like when, you know, you'd have all the Democrats out there protesting against oil drilling in Alaska. when the folks in Alaska wanted it. Pipeline, same thing. We believe that under the Antiquities Act, it's very clear that these monument designations are supposed to be the smallest area possible to protect the antiquities, and these multi-million acre monuments that are bigger than the state of Delaware certainly do not fit that designation, the governor said. Local Native American groups have criticized the move, however, as both monument areas contain part of their history. Trump and Interior Secretary Doug Burgum have pushed for using more federal land to expand U.S. energy production, clearing the way for mining and oil drilling in Alaska as well. New Bedford Light had a piece today, Anastasia Lenin. About the recently announced incursion into New Bedford by the Federal Department of Justice concerning the election. She writes, New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell seems to be questioning the motives of the Department of Justice's focus on the city for its upcoming primary election, but says his office will comply with the DOJ's recent request for information, which includes voter data as required by law, the mayor says. The DOJ letter asserts that the basis for the document request is the fact that New Bedford has a high percentage of people with limited English skills, Mitchell said in a written statement. New Bedford, of course, is hardly nationally distinctive in this way, and it raises the question whether DOJ's expressed concern for the voting rights of the non-English speakers is merely pretextual. Whatever the department's motives, the city and Board of Elections will comply with its information requests as required by law, and it is welcome to observe the city's elections, he said. In a letter to Manny DiBrito, the election commissioner, the DOJ requested the city provide information and data, including a voter list with first and last names, saying it wants to ensure the city's compliance with voting laws. The DOJ said it would send monitors to observe polling locations in New Bedford on September 1st, but hasn't shared how many. The DOJ letter said New Bedford doesn't yet fall under a language requirement to offer voting materials in a language other than English. Boston, for example, is required to provide materials in Spanish as well, but the federal government noted an estimated 4.5% of the voting age Hispanic citizens in New Bedford are limited English proficient based on 2021 census data. The threshold to trigger a requirement for voting materials in a language other than English is 5%. So we're getting there. We're getting close. New Bedford was one of more than one dozen jurisdictions across six states, five Democrat-led, singled out last week by the federal government as places that will see federal election monitors at their upcoming primaries, most of which have a language requirement. The story continues. The DOJ letter should be read in the context of the Trump administration's murderous failed attempts to compel states to turn over. I've been reading murderous all morning. Everybody's calling ICE murderous and Trump murderous. It is just kind of stuck in my brain when referring to Trump. Let me start again. The DOJ's letter should be read in the context of the Trump administration's numerous failed attempts to compel states to turn over voter information, assert control over state-run elections, and spread baseless lies to undermine the integrity of our elections, says Carol Rose, executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, in a statement. Yeah, there's a reputable source about lying, right? The federal action with New Bedford raises serious legal concerns, says Sophia Hall, deputy litigation director at Lawyers for Civil Rights, in a statement on Friday. These are people, by the way, that, defend the rights of the criminal illegal aliens over your rights and over the legitimacy of your elections. So keep that in mind as you're hearing this. The administration should not be asking for lists, says Rachel Cobb, assistant professor of political science at Suffolk University. And what are they going to do with these lists? I think that is the biggest concern. Well, let me just, for the record here, those lists, that information is public record anyway. It's public record. And what they're going to do with the list is completely legal. They want to go over the list and see who's on those lists, who are legally and not legally here. And that's what's got all of these civil liberties union and all these people all upset. They might discover that there are people on the list that are here illegally and perhaps even voting illegally. Why do they want the list anyway? What are they going to do with the list? Well, they're going to look at the list. Most voter records are public under Massachusetts public records law anyway, says Anastasia Lennon. Let me repeat that for those of you that were born and raised in the east end of New Bedford. Most voter records are public under Massachusetts public records law and can be requested from local election officials, according to the Secretary of State, Democrat Bill Galvin. The Light has previously obtained a copy of New Bedford's voter data, which contains registered voters, names, party affiliation, home addresses, and dates of registration. So these buffoons at the, liberty, social liberty groups and all of that, it's outrageous. What do they want to live on? So the Department of Justice should not be able to have access to these lists. But the press can get access to the list. It's open records. State Representative Tony Antonio F.D. Cabral, a Democrat running unopposed for re-election in New Bedford, said there have not been documented instances of voter fraud in the city. He said that the DOJ's actions with the city are, quote, nothing less than voter intimidation and voter suppression. Why would anybody be intimidated or feel suppressed if they are legally able to vote? These straw man stupid arguments. Does Tony Cabral even realize how stupid he sounds when he says that? Does Tony Cabral have any idea at all how stupid he sounds when he says that? Nothing less than voter intimidation and voter suppression. If you are legally able to vote, then what are you worried about? It's open record. It's public record. The other genius, Representative Mark Sylvia of Fairhaven, who is also running unopposed, Democrat, said in an email to the Light that the DOJ's request for data and other information is, quote, part of a broader pattern of federal overreach. It's public record. When the federal government requests the voting records of a single city, the Safeguards guaranteed by our Constitution of being tested, he said. Another nitwit who's never read the Constitution, apparently. People like to throw the Constitution around without ever having read it. Certainly not understanding it, anyway. But on and on it goes. So. All right, 508-996-0500. Thanks for hanging on. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Barry, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hanging in there. You know, last time there was a federal census here in New Bedford, the results given, 25,000 illegal aliens living in the city of New Bedford. Lena Hughes of the the Immigrant Assistance Center, I think she's the executive president, whatever her title is there. She had a recent interview not that long ago with Jim Phillips from Town Square Sunday. She said she has 14,000, she calls them migrants, but they're illegal aliens, registered in her database. They're at her nonprofit. So Tony Cabral's afraid that he's going to lose voters. That's what it is. And the mayor was on, believe it or not, with Gene Valicente this morning, between the 7:30 and 8 o'clock hour this morning, being interviewed by Gene. And the mayor, John Mitchell, told him that this is political, politically motivated. He said it's being contested as the language barrier. And he says he's open to investigation, but there's other things that we need to look to make sure it's on the up and up. So he thinks it's political, just like Tony Cabral.
Yeah, but political how? See, they say these things. Yeah. And, you know, the asinine, Gene Valicente, who I call Secret Squirrel, they don't ask the questions. Political how, Mayor? What do you mean it's political? What's Trump trying to get at you, Mr. Mayor? Is that how this is political? Well, what is it? What is political about it? You know,
he didn't go any. He didn't push him any further.
Of course not.
It was just left at. It was just left as the, at that.
Yeah, this is political. Well, what exactly? I mean, that's the first question you ask. What do you mean by that, Mayor? What exactly are you inferring here?
Exactly. Well, at first, this word that he uses the big word like contextual, and then Gene Valicente pushed him on it, and that's when he says, you know, he believes it's politically motivated. Basically, if you speak a different language that you're being scrutinized because you don't speak English as your prominent language, your first language. But the thing is that's being in question here, are you a citizen or not? That's what we want to know. Are people who are not citizens voting? And if that's the case, that's against the law.
Well, you know what? Cities manage city elections. States manage state elections. The federal government manages federal elections. So if the federal government wants to make sure that the federal election is on the up and up, they have every right in the world, especially since it's open public record, to inspect the voter records. They have every right in the world to do that. That doesn't make it political. You know, John Mitchell makes himself sound like he's really that important on the national level. Like Donald Trump sits up at night and worries about John Mitchell. You know, what does he mean this is political? Oof. I mean, that's almost laughable.
Right. It's, you know, the Department of Justice was called in because there have been problems with the New Bedford Election Commission as far as signs being put up for the wrong date of vote. Signs, the same sign stating this is the voting place when it was not.
And why did John Mitchell not fire Manny DiBrito?
Well, there's been many problems. He hasn't.
No, through all of these crises, Manny DiBrito still has a job, and the mayor has not done anything about it.
No, absolutely.
So you
got to
wonder, if you're in the Department of Justice and you see an election commissioner who keeps screwing up as badly as this guy has, and the mayor is protecting him and defending him and refusing to replace him, maybe that's why these folks in Washington are wondering what's going on here.
So the assistant attorney general of the DOJ, Civil Rights Division, Harmeet Dhillon, is going to come down here on a political goose chase. That they're insulting our intelligence.
Yeah, because Trump hates Mitchell. Trump hates Mitchell, so he's going to go. That's why Trump just opened up the scallop beds out in Georgia's bank so that Mitchell's, and mentioned New Bedford by name, so that Mitchell's fishing fleet can catch more scallops because he hates Mitchell.
It's ridiculous. You know, what is Tony Cabral's middle initial? Is it F?
It's actually, there's a couple of them. I have it right here. It's Tony, it's right in the New Bedford Life story. Tony, it's Antonio F. D. Cabral.
Yeah, phony Democrat Cabral.
Yeah. He's another one. You know, Tony Cabral says that this is nothing less than voter intimidation and voter suppression. How does it suppress the vote? How does it suppress the vote? If you're on that list and you're legally able to vote, how does that keep you from voting or discouraging you from voting?
No, it doesn't. I mean, so you're going to have someone who's deceased or somebody who's moved out of the state and is still on the voter list. And they show up and they say, you know, they're Joe Banana, they're there to vote, and they look it up. Joe Banana, where do you live? And they give them the address, and they go and vote. But the person doesn't live there. There could be potential voter fraud. But according to Antonio Cabral, that's a violation of your voting rights.
It's voter suppression.
It's,
and, you know, here's another case. Now, Anastasia Lennon, I praise her work because I think she does good work. I think she's, you know, by and large, a pretty good reporter. But she didn't ask Cabral to explain that. You know, Cabral should, you know, she says, you know, right here in her story, she says, Tony Cabral says this is nothing less than voter intimidation and voter suppression. The very next sentence should have said, I asked him what he meant by that, and this is what he told me.
What's the intimidation? People that, first of all, don't belong in a country to begin with. People who are not citizens are going out to vote. They're the ones. So he's telling you right there, he's for lawbreakers. He's for the illegal aliens and the lawbreakers.
He's not for,
you know what? Their rights.
He's not for anything. That's the problem. These Democrats are so, they're such empty vessels. They're not for anything. They are just for being opposed to everything. Okay, now anybody with a half a brain in their noggin knows that it's best to have a clean election, okay, and not have people who are not supposed to be in this country voting. Okay, we all know, anybody with a half a brain knows that it's best when you have election commissioner that makes sure that Republican ballots get delivered to polling places. We all know that. That's common sense. Okay, so these Democrats aren't opposed to good elections. They just want something to bitch about. And everything is, you know, everything is wrong. Everything is bad. Everything is nasty. You have a friend like that? You ever have a friend in your life like that that never has anything good to say or positive to say about anything?
Well, you know, Tim would say I'm that type of guy, but I'm pragmatic. I look at both sides. I look at the sunshine and then the rainy clouds.
There you go, my friend. I got to hold you there. I got to get a break in. 508-996-0500. Right now, there's smoky clouds. A lot of smoke out there. People are coming outside looking at the sky and saying, what the heck? So we got some smoke around here. That's going to last for a little bit. But all right, we're going to take the break. We're going to come back in just a couple of moments. So please do stay with us on this Tuesday afternoon. And let me do this, and then we'll come back after that. After I do this, we'll do that right here.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Another teenager fell victim to fake pills. Smells like big crime that needs to be stopped. Where are these pills coming from, and how are kids getting them? Right from under our noses, crooks are targeting kids on social media and selling them counterfeit pills that could seal their fate with a click of a button. It may seem harmless. Maybe it doesn't even seem like a drug deal, but it definitely is. So before buying pills online, think about this. Should buying prescription pills be that easy? Think these pills are tested and safe? Think they're the same ones you get from a doctor? You know they're not. Did you know that many fake pills contain fentanyl? And an amount small enough to fit on the tip of a pencil can be lethal. Listen, before buying pills from social media, think again. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org and go for real. Brought to you by USPTO and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
And welcome back to the program. So Darlene Graham is now officially sworn in as an interim U.S. Senator from South Carolina. She will sit in her brother's seat, Lindsey Graham, who passed away over the weekend. And she's officially sworn in as the interim senator. I'll just get some stuff done in the Senate and see if we can't get that SAVE Act done on behalf of Lindsey Graham. He was a great proponent of it, and I'll see if we can't get it done. But I hate politicking. I really do. And you know what I hate as much as politicking is when you have folks in the press who don't do their job, who don't understand their job. You know, the last caller was talking about the mayor being on Mayor Mitchell being on Channel 10 this morning. I guess it was Channel 10. Gene Valicenzi, Secret Squirrel. I used to call him that, and he used to piss him off because he always wore a trench coat. You know, some of those reporters in TV and in the newspaper, especially the TV guys, they used to wear a trench coat. only one TV guy I ever saw that did the trench coat right was Peter Jennings. But anyway... So, you know, the mayor saying, well, this whole thing is political. Well, define political. What do you mean political? What exactly do you mean is political? If you're saying it's political, it's you are insinuating that somehow or another somebody has it in for you. They're trying to intimidate you. How else is it political? But you know what? The dopes in the press just don't know how to follow up with a question. They don't know how to follow up and say, what do you mean by political? They sit there and nod their heads like dogs, you know, little doggies in the back, the rear window. Remember those old the dogs that were in the back of the window with the bobbleheads when we were growing up? Did your grandfather have one of those in the back of your car? Probably your grandmother put it there, right? And they don't ask the questions. Sometimes you wonder. You want to bop them in the back of the head and say, come on, ask the question. Well, this is political. What do you mean it's political? What do you mean it's political? We have evidence from all across this state and all across this country of people voting illegally that shouldn't be here. People that are registered, we told you people were going to get driver's licenses in Massachusetts if you gave illegals, or they were going to register to vote if you gave them driver's licenses, and it's happening. And if a Tony Cabral, you don't expect any better from him, saying this is nothing less than voter intimidation and voter suppression. And again, no follow-up. Now, what do you mean, Tony? What are you talking about? The hell are you talking about? Voter intimidation. If you're legally on the voter rolls, you know, most of you probably don't even understand this, probably don't even realize it. But again, as Anastasia Lenin pointed out in her story, this is all public record. It's all available. She went in and got the New Bedford voting rolls. Maybe Tony Cabral, who's been in office over 30 years, doesn't know, but those voter lists are public, not public record, public access. Is Anastasia Lenin guilty of intimidation and voter suppression by getting the same exact list that the Department of Justice is asking for? The only way you feel intimidated or suppressed is if you are on the list and you should not be on the list. That's when you might feel intimidated. Otherwise, you don't even know anybody's looking at that list. How do you know how many people have asked for that list and never received it? Do you realize that every time somebody runs for political office, they ask for that list? Candidates get that list. How do you think you get those cards in the mail and those flyers in the mail from political candidates? What do you think, they guess who lives there? You get cards and let it vote for me. And, you know, those nicely designed, they say, all the candidates send them out now, the cards with their name on it, they're all posing with their families or their dog or whatever. And your name and your address is on it. It doesn't just say apartment such and such at such and such a street. It has your name on it. Where do you think they get your name from? The voter list. Everybody has access to the voter list. That's why it cracks me up when you hear Maura Healey and Andrea Joy Campbell. Oh, we're not going to cooperate with our voter list. That's all public record. John Mitchell uses the voter list when he sends out his mailings to people. Tony Cabral uses the mailing list when he sends out his mailings to people, the voter list. Everybody uses it. You can go get it. It's public document, public record. Oh, no, it's politicizing it. It's intimidation. Voter suppression. When Tony Cabral sends you one of his flyers in the mail, is that suppressing your vote? Because he got your name from the voter list? Or Mark Montigny or any of the other politicians running for office? If they send you a flyer in the mail, a campaign flyer, is that voter suppression? Is that intimidation? It's a pain in the ass, I know that. They go from my mail slot into the trash can right next to it. But it's all a ruse. It's all a big sham. The whole opposition to voter ID, the whole opposition to the Department of Justice seeking the voter lists and all that kind of stuff. It's all a sham. These people aren't opposed to this. They use the same voter list. Such a joke. 508-996-0500 is the number. Coming right back after this, please stay tuned.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more.
I slept in a lot of different rooms, different beds, but none of them really felt like mine. I spent 14 years in foster care, mostly in group homes. And I never had much left because I always had to be ready to move. Why get things if you just have to let them go?
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a forever family and a permanent home of their own.
Now I have my own room with walls that tell my story. I love hanging out in here. I play dress up with my sisters and I sing and make videos. But the best part, knowing I'll always have a place to go and a family that loves and supports me.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early, bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead, and have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
All righty, welcome back. It is 2:50 right now on a Tuesday. The sky seems to be brightening up just a little bit, and it's maybe the smoke is thinning out just a little bit, and so that's good. And I was trying to see what the yeah, temperature's down to 78 here on the neck. Not quite as warm as it was expected to get today, but I think a lot of that had to do with the smoke blocking the sun. So still should see an interesting sunset tonight. Sun goes down about 8:16 tonight. And we should see an interesting sunset. Should be one of those orange, bright red suns because of the smoke. That you see sometimes if you're a photographer, you might get some good pictures. And tomorrow is going to be just as bad, maybe even worse with the smoke. And it actually could be thick enough that we smell it around here. I haven't been out in a while, so I don't know whether you can smell the smoke in the air right now. But it is smoky here in Fairhaven. But again, it seems to be thinning out just a bit. And it's not as, it doesn't appear to be quite as heavy as it was earlier. And again, that's right here where I'm at. And I'm looking in a certain direction out the window. So, I have no idea what's going on where you are, but if you're wondering why it's cloudy, that's what it is. It's the smoke from the fires out in Minnesota, northern Minnesota. And also Ontario, Canada. So they can have their smoke. Yeesh. Don't want it, don't need it. So, all right, let's see if we can squeeze one more in before we have to hit the break here, the last break before the news. And you're next on WBSM. Good afternoon.
Hi, Barry. I just have a question. I just tuned in. What is the smoke from? Do you know?
Yeah, there the forest fires way up in northern Minnesota and Ontario, Canada.
Oh, wow. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Appreciate you calling. We've had this over the last couple of years where the smoke from the forest fires get into the air, and they just, there have been so many forest fires in the last few years. I don't remember ever having this kind of experience when we were younger, but maybe we did. I just wasn't aware of it. But, of course, a lot more gets reported on these days. But you can actually do a map. If you're still listening to the young lady who just called me, if you are still listening, you can actually do a Google. And go on Google and just type in, something like wildfire smoke. And there are a number of pages that will pop up, and you can actually follow it. There are maps. You can see the maps, and you can see how thick it is over southern New England right now. Some of them have different shades of brown, and you can see the different shades of brown where we're at. And I saw one on Channel 4's website earlier, WBZ's website, showing the plume of smoke as it trails back across Mass, Massachusetts through New York and out that way, all the way back to its source. And so there's a number of maps online, so you can actually follow this and see the way the wind is going to blow it. But it is what it is, right? But it does seem to be brightening up just a little bit here in Fairhaven anyway. So, all right, I got to get the last break in, and we're going to come back after the news. Stay tuned. You are listening to, not after the news, but after the break, before the news. You're listening to WBM. All righty, welcome back, and got a couple of moments to go, and then we're going to wrap things up for the day on this Tuesday. Again, Darlene Graham has been sworn in as an interim U.S. senator. And of course, to replace her brother, Lindsey Graham, who passed away over the weekend. And there will be an election to fill that seat, but she will hold on to it for a few months. I believe it'll be in January or until January. And so that'll happen. President Trump, again, delivering was being billed as a quite interesting speech on Thursday night. It's going to have to do with election integrity. MSNBC, which is not always the most reliable news source in the world, says he's going to reveal some intelligence from the 2020 election to show that an outside country or another country mingled in the election. I don't know anything about that, but we'll have to wait and see what goes on Thursday night. That'll be fun to watch that. A lot of things going on Thursday, too. You got the new Thursday concerts downtown and a return to the Friday night concert this week and other stuff like that, too. So, all right, we got to get out of here. It is time for the news. ABC News is coming up next, followed by WBSM News.